people said,
Amen.
Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your unfathomable mercy in sending Jesus for us sinners, people who do not deserve your grace, but you decided in your mercy to shower us with your grace irregardless. We thank you this evening as we remember the birth of your Son. Help us to love him, adore him, and worship him. For these things we beg through Christ our Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Before I get to my sermon, I cannot resist this opportunity, and since I got the bully pulpit, I'll do it. Jesus once said, anybody who gives somebody a cold glass of water because of me will not lose his reward. Well, my wife gave me a warm glass of tea to soothe my throat, and she won't be forgotten either. Just had to add that in there. In certain times of the year, we pivot from one season to the next. For instance, between now and the middle of January, I will begin starting the process of shifting my folders in my file box from 2023 to 2024, including credit card statement, checking account, and yes, getting ready for tax season. As if you really wanted to hear that on December 24th. During the week of January 7th to the 13th in our section of Baltimore County, we can put out our Christmas tree, and they promise to pick it up and get rid of it, however they do that. I know undesirable tasks like this we don't want to think about, but my point is, as we transition from one season to the next, we do things in connection with the anticipation of the season to come. And so in the church year, as we celebrate it, we're ending tonight Advent, and we go into that, what the song talked about, the 12 days of Christmas, which goes from December 25th through January 5th, and we celebrate it a night early in Christmas Eve. We pivot from remembering the Old Testament promises of the coming Christ to Christ actually coming, being born of the Virgin Mary. This evening, I will be considering the coming of Christ under 3 points taken from John 3, our New Testament reading. So my first point is, Jesus Christ has come as the only begotten Son of God. We celebrate this evening the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, the divine Son of God. While all four gospel writers affirm and proclaim Jesus as fully God and fully man, John is the only gospel which uses this technical term, the only begotten Son of God. That term, because we have been Christians for decades, most of us, that term just rolls off our lips until we have to describe what that means. In fact, if I stood out there and I said, I'm not going to let you go until you give me a definition of what the only begotten Son of God is, well, I don't want to go there. But here it is in a nutshell. Jesus has an eternal relationship with God the Father. And this phrase, only begotten Son, emphasizes the eternal communion between the Father and the Son. Jesus, from all eternity, is God, God the Son. What's different about this night that we celebrate is that he became human. But this term, only begotten, affirms the full deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there are 4 references in John's gospel which speaks about the only begotten Son of God. John 1, chapter 14 and verse 18, and then tonight's reading, John 3, 16 and 18. The only begotten Son, as I just made reference to, has this in its essence, the eternal relationship that God the Son has with God the Father. And in saying that, we must realize that Jesus as God never had a beginning. And that infamous question that children are bound to ask, who made God? Nobody. God always has been and is. And in Christmas, we celebrate the miracle of the incarnation of Christ. There's another loaded term. What do we mean by incarnation? It comes from the Latin to become flesh. Jesus is God in human form. As in John 1:14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. This Jesus Christ is perfect God, perfect man in one person. Christ's humanity thus includes Jesus having a human body, mind, and emotions. And Jesus still has a glorified body, mind, and emotion. In fact, he's the only person of a Holy Trinity which has a body. Athanasius, a bishop of the 4th century, wrote a book entitled On the Incarnation of the Word. Quote, but since the Word is the perfect image of God, he was able to renew that image in us, and by his life, works, and teaching to renew and restore true knowledge of God. His works of power revealed him as the Word of God, the Lord of all creation, and thus the one through whom true knowledge of God comes. Before I leave this point of Jesus being God, I will quote a famous quote, which I have quoted before, from C.S. Lewis, emphasizing having a biblical and accurate view of who Jesus is. C.S. Lewis said, quote, I am trying here to prevent anyone from saying the really foolish thing that people often say about him. And that is, they're ready to accept Jesus as a great moral teacher, but I don't accept his claim to be God. Lewis continued, this is the one thing we must not say. A man who was merely a man and said the sort of things that Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. He would either be a lunatic on the level with the man who says he's a poached egg, or else he would be the devil of hell. You must make your choice. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or else he is a madman or something worse. You can shut him up as a fool, you can spit on him and kill him as a demon, or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord and God. But let us not come up with any patronizing nonsense about his being a great human teacher. He has not left that open to us. He did not intend to. End of quote. So that is a choice before us. We sing songs about worshiping Jesus, and we must embrace all that the New Testament talked about. And the central thing it did talk about was that Jesus is both God and man. And so when we hear people saying, well, I like him as a teacher, but I don't think he's God, then he wasn't a good teacher either, if he's not truly God. So Jesus is the only begotten Son of God. Secondly, Jesus is the Savior of the world. And here, this probably most known verse of the New Testament. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. He who believes in him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. These very familiar verses remind us of this central truth taught throughout Holy Scripture, that God the Father sent his Son into the world to save us and give us the gift of eternal life. The Gospel of John foretells the manner of our Lord Jesus redeeming death in the words of John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave. The gift of the Father of his Son by sending him into the world was for our salvation. As Jesus later said of himself in John 12:32-33, and I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself. But he was saying this to indicate the kind of death by which he was to die. With this knowledge of Jesus Christ comes a unique responsibility to believe and entrust ourselves to God's Son, the Savior of the world. And in John 3, 16 through 18, he shows us both sides of the coin. He gives us the promise. He who believes in him has eternal life. But let us also recognize this. He shows us the other side of the coin. He who does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. It's great news and a promise for us if we believe it. But let us and let me as a minister of the gospel also give us the warning that if we reject God's love given to us in Christ, we stand condemned and guilty before God. That is the gospel. It includes both good news and bad news. Since there is only one Savior for the world, if we reject God's Son by not believing in him and his work for mankind, we have no hope of salvation. So John 3, 16 through 18 covers both the good news if we believe and the bad news if we refuse to believe. Sometimes we call this good news of salvation the four chapters of God's work for us. The first chapter is God's good creation. Secondly, mankind's fall into sin. Third, our redemption and rescue through Jesus Christ. And fourth, the restoration of God's good creation at the end of the time, in which we will live in a better world than even the Garden of Eden before Adam and Eve sinned. This is the story we have in anticipating Advent, the story we celebrate soon on this day tomorrow, the Feast of the Incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ, as we call it, Christmas Day. As our Lord would tell us later in John 14, verse 6, that Jesus alone is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through him. And so Jesus is the Savior of the world. A third and final point, Jesus is the light of the world. John 3, 19 through 21 says, this is the judgment, that light has come into the world, and men love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But he who practices the truth comes to the light, so his deeds may be manifested as having been wrought in God. This passage parallels what is already said about Jesus by John in his opening chapter, that there came a man sent from God whose name was John. He came to witness and to testify about the light so that all might believe in him. He was not the light, but he came to testify about the light. There was the true light which was coming into the world, which enlightens every man. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe on his name, who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And so we hear this good news, that Jesus is the light of the world. And again, it's our choice. Will we receive a light or will we reject it? We must come to Jesus and accept his teachings about himself as God the Son and his saving work for us. And this is our light. For Jesus, above all else, as God the Son, always spoke the truth about himself and about his Father. Thus, his teaching is the light of truth, which will guide our feet in the paths of righteousness and true holiness as we embrace his teaching for our salvation. The Lord Jesus Christ has come as the only begotten Son of God, as the Savior of the world, and as the light of the world. Let us serve him, worship him, and honor him as our God, for that is what he claimed to be, and rightly so. And so let us worship him. Let us pray. O God, who makes us glad with the yearly remembrance of the birth of your Son, Jesus Christ, grant that as we joyfully receive him as our Redeemer, so we may with sure confidence behold him when he shall come to be our judge, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, world without end. Amen.